Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I'm your host, James Coe, joined alongside the great Adam Rank. What's up?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. No, I didn't know. I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Oh, okay.
I was there's a lot of things going on. We had the League of Leagues drafts.
You were in Vegas, so
in
you never
Vegas
know.
Vegas over the weekend. You never know. And now that there's a football team there, I might not ever come back. But I will touch on. We'll touch on a lot of that.
Fantasy correspondent for the LV Raiders,
perhaps.
Adam,
perhaps. Ray? And okay. Plus, I've had a nice little battle with Falcons Twitter over the last couple of
have
days.
You? So
it's been. Listen, let me tell you something. And I'm sorry. Hey, Marcus.
Hello. No, continue, please.
No. Alex, I don't want. But listen, this is what I got to say. So last week.
Should have gone to you last.
There was another Ryan speaker, Paul Ryan.
Oh, yes.
Who didn't have a great day. And I drew up. And this is not a political statement. I'm just saying that he had a bad Friday.
He did.
And I drew a parallel with him and Matt Ryan. I go, oh, look, they both folded in the fourth quarter. This is great. and everybody, like, here's the thing is that Falcons Twitter was all a buzz, being like, it wasn't Matt Ryan's fault that we lost the game. And I said, okay, listen, I can appreciate that, and there's plenty of blame to go around, but ultimately, and I went back and I rewatched the game, Matt Ryan needed to make one more play and did not make it. Henceforth, he folded.
Okay,
it's like, listen.
But he made that big play to go down the field.
That was a great one. You needed another one.
That was a great play.
You want to win the game, or do you want to be like, oh, we got close?
Okay.
What is it? Like, it's like if a guy scores 40 points in an NBA championship game. Like, the NCAA tournament's coming up.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Is that not a great game?
Let's say that kid from North Carolina, if he misses that shot and they lose the game, like, he didn't make the shot. Like, I can't.
But did he fold? I mean, that's a big
deal. You fold because you're there for one thing, to win. Yes. So if you had scored 40 points but you failed to convert on two free throws to win the game, then you folded. Like, I'm sorry. That's like Scott
MG
Norwood.
My guy, Marcus.
Hold on. Scott Norwood folded. In Super Bowl 25.
Okay. All right.
Did he not?
Yeah. I
mean,
sure.
It wasn't his fault that they lost the game entirely.
Yes.
But he needed to make the play at the end of the game. He didn't do it. Matt Ryan didn't do it. I'm sorry. I hate to be the one to have to report that.
It's a good tweet you had, Rank. It's got
it was a good tweet.
I missed it at the time. It's got nearly 2,000 retweets.
What?
It was a good tweet.
Over 2,000 likes.
Well, can you read the tweet, Alex?
It says, Orion folding in the clutch is starting to become a theme of 2017.
Oh!
Side by side of Matt Ryan holding his face with confetti coming down in the background, and Paul Ryan looking sad.
Which is kind of how I imagine that unfolding. A bunch of like confetti coming down, and Matt and Paul Ryan having to walk. That's the way we should do it now.
With all bills,
anything that happened,
with everything in government,
you have to set up different colors for bills, though, so that the right confetti can drop.
Man, I can't wait. This is going to be anytime there's a Ryan who fails.
Oh.
It's on.
I'm on it.
It's on and popping.
You just got to start adding to it.
Let's go.
I'm looking forward to it.
MG, my guy Mark Grant, what's cracking?
I will say that after this conversation, people who love the law, sausage, and joke should watch neither of them being made. Because it just doesn't work out.
It's ugly sometimes.
There you go.
Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellar.
I don't even know what to say about this episode.
We're all drunk.
It's going to be interesting.
No, I'm just saying. I was just here.
Oh, we got a big time show in front of us here today.
We got Matt Waldman. That's a good thing.
We got Matt Waldman.
Got a big get.
Good thing it's not Ryan Waldman.
Yeah.
The last name has to be.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. My bad. So we got the great Matt Waldman on the program today. If you don't know his work, you should. He writes a tremendous, just a beast of a portfolio every single year. It basically scouts out every single fantasy-relevant incoming rookie. It is just an absolute monster. How many pages is that thing?
Well, it's thousands, as I'm sure he'll explain, because it's several hundred
literally
pages.
A thousand plus.
Several hundred pages of analysis.
Unreal.
And the rankings and detailed descriptions of each player's strengths and weaknesses. And then he also shows his work. Like, he details the plays and the games that he watched and what from that play indicated, you know, part of his ranking. It's extremely meticulous and extremely useful.
You do have to pay some money for it.
It is worth every penny, though.
It is.
And you'll find out why.
It is so intense, and it's unbelievable. It is a encyclopedia of knowledge of that. There is no doubt.
You know what you don't have to pay for, though?
What's that?
Play fantasy football on NFL.com.
Hey, baby.
You can pre-register your leagues
right
now.
Let's go. NFL.com/fantasy.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Go do it.
By the way, you could also, if you are interested in free agency, and why would you not be, go to NFL.com/fantasy free agency. It's a live blog of sorts to talk about, basically break down. Not only do you get all of the signings, but you also get the fantasy implications of all of the signings as well. So NFL.com/fantasy free agency for all your free agency news. NFL.com/fantasy.
Or
sign up your
/preactivate.
Oh, slash
get it going right away.
Oh, okay.
Use the like fancy it. Use the fancy slash there, because then the people in New York get happy with
okay,
our performance.
Good. NFL.com/preactivate for you fancy folks out there. So we'll have Matt Wallman today on today's show. We'll close out with a round of daily daps, but as always, we start with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, we're going to start with the College Pro Day. Dante Foreman, holy good God almighty.
Of course we start here.
Bruh.
We got young, inspiring quarterbacks recovering from major injuries, and James is like, nah, 40 time.
No, 40 time now. This dude ran a 4.45 40. This after weighing in at 235 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, he's only 3 weeks removed from a foot fracture. The dude ran a 4.45 at 235 after a foot fracture. Holy hell. Oh, by the way, extremely productive in college as well. As a junior, he ran for 2,000 yards and 15 touchdowns at Texas. Alex Gelhar, your thoughts here.
I mean, this is good news. He was one of the guys I was excited to watch at the combine before he couldn't do any workouts because of his foot fracture, because he carried a lot of extra weight in the season, still looked great, but there were reports that he'd trimmed down a little bit, you know, toned everything up, and I was like, all right, let's see what this guy can run, because he's got a lot of the traits you like. He's kind of a bulldozer. He's got some foot quickness, though. He's one of those bigger backs with balance that we like to see kind of in the Eddie Lacy, Marshawn Lynch, LeGarrette Blount mold, where, you know, he'll bounce off of guys, he'll spin around and stay up. So this is all really promising for him, and he's going to be a guy that we'll need to watch in the middle rounds if a team makes a move for him there that needs a running back.
They were saying that he was playing around 255, 260
yep.
as a junior,
yep.
and he slimmed down for the combine, which I love. I love the fact that he did that. And then he goes in his pro day and runs a 4.45? Oh, sign me up all day long.
Because he can catch passes too. So he's a complete back.
That's amazing until he's going into the NFL weighing 260 again.
Okay.
Like, that's what? Cool. I'm glad he lost the weight for the combine.
I mean, couldn't he maintain the 235 frame?
Like, no.
No?
You don't know. Playing football. Like, you, it was easier to lose weight when you were a younger man. Like, people don't become, like, slimmer. As they okay, not I shouldn't be the one saying that. But for most, shut up, shut up. Most people do not.
Buddy, we have a theme in the Fantasy Stronghold of hey, fat rank. I mean, there's a picture of fat rank.
There is.
And then there's a picture of current day rank.
All right, well then draft me in the fifth round.
Also, I will say though, in his defense, he's going from eating on a college campus, which all of us know is not good for your health.
Not
because of all the food there. To going to an NFL like diet program and stuff.
He was unpaid, which means that he was getting fat like with no money.
Eating
like, what's
going to
happen
food?
When he has money?
Because you know what's cheaper is food that's terrible for you.
Plus,
he can only afford two tacos del loco.
All I know is that I could get Carl's Jr. on my meal plan, so that didn't help me out.
Now he can go to Carl's Jr. and hit the Taco Bell on the way back.
All right. Anyways, we're getting off the rails.
Getting off the rails. I'm just saying that it's a legitimate concern.
But I will also say that Le'Veon Bell was a guy who was heavier in college than he was when he got to the NFL. He slimmed down and has remained that size since he's been with Pittsburgh.
I was saying we're getting off the rails rank and specifying which fast food chains he could hit. Your complaint is certainly valid, but we didn't need to go that deep.
It's been noted.
It's been noted.
It's been noted.
What do you think? Like, he's hitting Whataburger?
Oh,
he was
for
in
sure.
Texas?
Of course. He's chowing that
so
down.
If he goes to a California team.
Oh, now he's doing In-N-Out.
Where he can get a better burger?
Yes. Yeah, there's three L.A. teams. He could go get an In-N-Out burger.
Three L.A. teams.
There are three L.A. teams.
Las Vegas Raiders. Oh, okay. All right. We'll be an offshoot.
We'll stay with
running. We'll get to that.
By the way, James, real quick, actually, rather than jumping into that, we do kind of have some breaking news as we were starting the podcast
here. Hit me.
Per Chris Bradford of the Times, he found from a league source that Martavis Bryant's reinstatement is, quote, imminent.
Imminent.
Steelers.
High five. Here we go. Oh. Let's go.
All right.
Martavis Bryant literally just stood up out of his chair and high-fived James.
We'll explain it later.
Let's we'll explain later because it's awesome.
Oh, I think I know exactly where this goes. But anyway, I will say this. I am not going to get excited until he's actually on the field.
You.
No,
stop
because
you.
As the skeptic.
Because I remember all the excitement and hype around a certain Cleveland Browns wide receiver who was actually reinstated, not imminently reinstated, was actually reinstated and still has not played an actual down of football. So I want to see Martavis Bryant on the field, and then I will, you know, say
hello to him. Here we are words for you. How dare you?
Here we are trying to celebrate. Marcus has to come in all.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, MG. We will go from
Real quick,
If
he does get reinstated, where do you guys think you draft him next this coming fall?
18th round. Oh, wait, that was our draft we were doing. That was illegal.
That's a different draft.
If he's still on the board after the, sixth round, I think that's
that sounds about right.
That's I'm moving early. Yeah.
I'd probably take him in the fifth.
I'm not taking him in the fifth.
Oh, yeah. Don't you dare touch him in the fifth.
But, yeah, I think sixth round sounds about right.
We'll have to see. Well, I mean, it'll depend on shape and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what we reports out of camp and things, but – we've seen how good he can be even in limited amounts of work in years past. If he's reinstated, his ceiling, if he plays a full 16 games, monstrous.
But what about if Ben Roethlisberger retires,
bro? Oh, God, you're right. Yeah, Ben might retire.
I swear to God, Ben Roethlisberger.
Man, stretching that out.
He's the worst. He's the guy who always says, like, you invite somewhere.
Yeah.
And says no, just to have everybody
beg him.
Oh, come on, dude. It's not going to be the same without you.
I hear you. Yeah.
Come on, man. Okay. Yeah. I'll buy the first round of Jaeger bombs.
There's a little bit of that, for sure.
That's his whole life. Okay. I'm tired of it. Like, fine, retire. Like, we're done with you.
All right. Okay, there you go. Can we talk about Adrian Peterson now?
Please.
Sure.
Adrian Peterson finds himself – could he find himself in Giants blue next season? Why? You're chuckling already? According to a Pro Football Talk report, Coach Ben McAdoo coyly said, quote, never say never when talking about adding Adrian Peterson.
If I was a coach and somebody asked me, hey, do we could see him in a Giants uniform? Be like, I don't know. Is he on NFLShop.com? You could certainly purchase one. I'm tired of Adrian Peterson.
Why?
Here's the thing with Peterson. You ever watch, NASCAR highlights from the 70s? You don't, but just imagine what it looked like.
Okay.
That's Adrian Peterson now. It's like the game has kind of passed him by, and he's not the way he plays running back is not the way that position is played now. And I think there are very few places for him to go where he can be successful, and it's going to be up to him to say, I'm willing to take less money, I'm willing to take a reduced role, and I'm having a hard time seeing that.
Well, I mean, when you say there's no place for him, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Look, yes, he's a downhill runner that needs to play in a system that is under center. He can't really run from the shotgun that well, which
everybody does.
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that still run from under center. As a matter of fact, it's hard to argue the other side, because then when we start talking about quarterback evaluations, the guy's never played under center. I mean, why is that important if everyone's running from the shotgun?
Well, are young guys who are coming into the league. And besides, too, and, we'll be discussing this with our guest coming up here shortly, is that there's a lot of good running backs in this upcoming draft, too, that if you're sitting there, if you're a team that has a need, like if you're the Raiders and you're like, well, we could sign him. We could sign the 32-year-old guy, or we could draft somebody.
If his price tag comes all the way down to, a one-year, $3 million option.
That's still too much. Like, why would I do? I'd rather draft a guy.
Right.
Who hasn't been injured two out of the last 3 years.
True.
Who doesn't have all those miles on.
He's only 2 years removed from a great season. So I don't know. It's intriguing, at least to me. The offense is great in New York if he goes there.
If you divorced yourself from the name,
like
if it was like, this is just running back X, here's his last 3 years, missing two with injuries, one great year, he's 32, he's got all this, he's got baggage associated with them both on and off the field. I'm out. I don't need it.
All right.
I'm going somewhere else.
I mean, like, the reason I bring up New York is because it's interesting. If he signs there, theoretically, it's a good offense. Also, not a lot of inspiring names there in the running back.
But I also feel like I think it's kind of funny that the one team that is even, you know, feigning interest in him is arguably the worst fit for his skills. Like, it's honestly the worst fit for his skill set.
Also, I want to add that let's not forget the lessons of the past when just a few years ago a team with a young rising quarterback signed a bunch of veterans that we all used to love. We all bought in on them, and they fell apart for us. I'm talking about the Colts when they had Andrew Luck and they signed Andre Johnson. Fantasy community went wild. He was getting drafted in the third round. I didn't want to do it. I bought into it.
Nope.
I drafted him in one league. Hated it. Frank Gore struggled.
Hated it.
This is a team. The Giants are a team, though, with an aging quarterback whose arm we saw fall apart down the stretch. We just added an aging wide receiver, and now we want them to add an aging running back, too.
Interesting.
Like, what part of that actually excites you in fantasy?
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious. I'm waiting for an answer. Other than OBJ.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get to count the one hoppers that he's going to catch from Eli.
Well, I mean, they have a good group of wide receivers. I mean, you talk about Brandon Marshall. I mean, still, even as a number three, I think he's interesting.
He's diluting the pool, though, now.
Yeah.
We were going to have OBJ and Shepard getting a vast majority of targets.
When you add good players, I mean, it just helps the offense in general. I don't know.
It doesn't always for fantasy, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Andrew Luck has shoulder surgery back in January. Owner Jim Irsay told the media the team's going to take it slow with Andrew Luck and did not rule out Luck missing part of training camp.
Awesome.
MG, cause for concern there, or is it actually kind of like backdoor good news, considering that he wasn't really that healthy in 2016 and yet still put up some decent numbers?
I'm not worried about it. Let's be honest. How much would Andrew Luck have played in the preseason? I mean, he would have got his reps in training camp, but how much would they really have put him out there? Obviously, knowing that he is their franchise right now, and they have not done a very good job of protecting him on the field. This just seems like going out and getting a guy some rest. I mean, there are bigger issues in that offense. I mean, you know, as much as I love Frank Gore,
no run game.
Not even he can outrun Father Time forever. you know, they've got to, you know, hopefully shore up that offensive line a little bit more. So I think there are bigger causes for concern in the Indianapolis offense. I'm not really panicking over Andrew Luck right now.
All right, well, let's get to our group of injured young quarterbacks. On Instagram, Teddy Bridgewater showed a short video of him planting and throwing a football.
Yay!
FYI, he was wearing two gloves.
Teddy, two gloves.
Marcus Mariota was seen in a local news report in his home state of Hawaii running around on the beach. His recovery is reportedly coming along, and he is expected to be available for the start of training camp, which I'm actually surprised by. And just to make sure we've got all of your broken leg quarterback news covered, Raiders GM Reggie McKenzie told reporters that Derek Carr will be, quote, good to go for off-season workouts that start in just a month. Also of note there, Derek Carr also celebrated his 20th birthday on Tuesday.
I loved this.
20th?
28th.
28th. Wait, Derek Carr's 28?
He is indeed 28, my friend.
That seems old.
He was old when he came out.
He was old coming out of college.
Because he was a four-year guy at Fresno State?
He was indeed.
Still, 28? Like,
yeah, that is kind of
true. That's Chris Wanky territory.
Yeah, that was Chris Wanky as a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be his fourth year, though, now. Don't forget.
Isn't it his fourth year already?
Yep.
2014.
Flies. What's happening? Make it stop.
His teammate, Marquette King, sent Derek Carr a happy birthday tweet with a video of King literally hunting full form an actual birthday cake.
Hashtag Marquette King is dope.
It was amazing.
It is.
I loved every second of it.
Amazing.
Punters are our national treasure.
They are.
But Marquette King in particular, I love him.
I do have to say it was great to see Teddy just actually on a field, though, because like everything we heard with his injury and stuff. And like, man, if he can come back into that offense, I mean, this year is probably still a long shot. But
yeah,
now that they've got, you know, Stephon Diggs and Thielen and Kyle Rudolph, like that. I remember watching Bridgewater last preseason before his injury and thinking this was going to be a great year for him. He was looking like it was finally all kind of coalescing for him skill-wise, and he had some offensive players around him. And let's not forget Treadwell. Like, he could be a very, very sneaky, like, super late round or streaming guy that you pick up that might
I'd love to know what the story is behind Treadwell. Why did he fall out of favor with that team? Why did he just get completely buried?
It's a good question. I don't have the answer.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It's so odd.
When you think about like how high people were on him last year. I mean,
he's still a first-round pick.
Me included. Like, me included. I was a big fan of his at Mississippi. It just seemed baffling. Like, is this guy – like, cause when Adam Thielen started catching passes, you're like, ah, it's cute.
Yeah.
You're like, what is happening? Like, how is this guy so –
I think the Teddy Bridgewater injury, though, was a blessing in disguise for somebody like Adam Thielen because, you know, you think about that North Turner offense, they want to go, you know, run medium to deep routes a lot. That's not really where Adam Thielen thrives, you know? Mm-hmm. And once they had to get, you know, once Teddy Bridgewater went down, all of a sudden the short passing game became much more prevalent. And I think that's where Adam Thielen
He was a very good deep threat for them, too. So he can kind of do it all. I think Harmon was putting him through reception perception and said he was hashtag good.
All right.
But of those other guys, too, I mean, all three of these guys, we're going to have to watch their injuries, but could be great late-round quarterback values if they do make full recoveries.
Wait, but we're I guess, well.
What?
I've already talked myself out of the point I was just going to make.
Which one?
Because I'm like, are we just going to assume that Teddy Bridgewater is going to come back as a starter? Then I realize the starter is Sam Bradford, who he's going to get hurt. So Teddy Bridgewater will have to play at some point.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I know Sam Brad. Don't. Oh, God.
What?
Vikings Twitter. Don't.
They're going to come
out. He played 14 games. Like, okay, shut up. I don't care. There was one good death. Okay, let's see it again.
All right, great. It's like Mark Ingram. No?
See,
no?
Why?
How dare you?
Trying to work in the elbow of Mark Ingram here, huh?
All right. Okay.
Why would you do that?
All right, because the Tony Romo thing must never die, owner Jerry Jones said that the team will make a decision on Romo by the start of training camp. Bruh, that's 4 months away, dude. whatever happened to this whole doing right by Tony Romo thing? Is this now dead?
Yeah, they're going to do right by Tony Romo until the Houston Texans started nosing around. And Jerry Jones is like, yeah, I can't have the other team in my state usurping me with my old quarterback.
This is so stupid. It's like, just let the guy go.
Yeah.
Let the guy go. I don't understand.
I really feel like if it was just about any other team, maybe you can throw in a couple teams from the NFC East. You know, when it's like Washington might have a QB opening, that wouldn't have happened. But like pretty much, I'd say 28 other teams in the NFL, Jerry would be, hey, Tony, best of luck. Hope it all works out for you.
But it's like,
why is he worried about Houston?
He's worried about the NFC East, which is, I think that's fair.
That's legit.
Like, but you can't worry about AFC teams, too. This is ridiculous. I guarantee you if he was at the 5-yard line going in for the Denver Broncos job, I guarantee you Jerry Jones is blocking that too. I mean, it's just so stupid. Like, let the guy go. I don't understand. I don't know. I get annoyed by it.
I think Tony Romo's going to end up in TV this year.
Maybe.
I don't think he plays.
Maybe he gets healthy finally and comes back the year after. I don't know.
Tony Romo is 37. I think that's correct.
Yes.
You know, you have a couple of back injuries. It's tough when you're in your late 30s, like trying to come back, like, I know what it's like. It's like I have to go do yoga and all that stuff, and it's like it's not easy, and I've not taken the pounding physically that Tony Romo has taken over the course of his life.
Sure.
And at some point, trying to ramp back up and get into game shape again, I don't know that he's going to want to do that, and I don't know if he's going to want to give it a go. And then you look at him and the way he comports himself, like he's going to have a pretty nice career talking about football on television for a very long time.
It's true.
And I don't know. And he's got a young family. We saw him on Instagram now, and he was out there playing with his daughter. And I think – I don't know if his wife's pregnant again or if they're expecting – or anything like that. But I just feel that at some point he's going to be like, you know what? I want to be able to run around with my kids, and it's not worth it to me anymore. I've made a lot of money. A lot of people will push him for the Hall of Fame. I'm not necessarily one of those people.
Right.
But it's like, you had a good career. Mm. You gave it a good run.
Yeah.
Came from nowhere. Like, what? There's no shame in just walking away.
Yeah, that's true. But if he wants to play, the fact that Jerry Jones is holding it up, that annoys me.
That's a little bit of a D move.
Yeah.
Especially after the whole, you know.
We're going to do right by Tony?
Right.
A little bit.
Like, let's NFL owners, this is just a blanket statement for everything you do. Just be honest with us.
That's impossible.
Just be honest.
That's going to be impossible.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. We'll go to Baltimore. John Harbaugh said Terrence West is the team's number one running back right now. I can't help but chuckle.
Oh, boy.
What about the GOAT, Danny Woodhead? Alex Gilhar, no?
Well, I mean, nobody's going to come out and say that Danny Woodhead's a number one running back, even if, you know, and he probably wouldn't even line up like that or, you know, fill that role, but he could be the number one running back in terms of touches, as we've seen happen before with Danny Woodhead.
Kenneth Dixon, remember, is suspended for the first four games of the season. So, I don't know. Terrence, thoughts on Terrence West in terms of a draft? It seems like he'd be an interesting guy to target late in the draft, and at least you get a decent running back for the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, West had good spells last year, too. The trouble was that offense continued to go away from the running game at times, and then they'd mix it up with Dixon and stuff like that.
Well, and then they changed their offensive coordinator.
And then they still didn't go back to the running game all that much. But West was pretty productive, and he would be the figured guy to get most of those goal line touches, which is something that we definitely want. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a great late-round stab because maybe they find a nice merger between him and Woodhead. Maybe he takes over. Like, it's low risk late in the draft.
I agree.
And he looked good last year, too, at times. He looked real good.
It's not – I mean, obviously, the upside is not D'Angelo Williams.
No.
You know what I mean? But it's similar to that scenario.
Certainly.
All right, so those are your top headlines.
That's a good comparison.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Those are your top headlines. Let's get to draft expert rookie prognosticator. Oh, my God, this guy's an absolute machine. We're talking about Matt Waldman. All right, on the horn, we got the great Matt Waldman. If you've never heard of him, well, shame on you. Listen, this man is an absolute beast when it comes to scouting rookies. He actually has a thing called the Rookie Scouting Portfolio, the RSP, world famous in the fantasy community. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. All right, so talk to us a little bit about your project. You know, every single year you come out with this this great portfolio. You could find it at mattwaldmanrsp.com. But what is the Rookie Scouting Portfolio?
Sure. This is something that I've been doing for the past 12 years. It comes out every April 1st. And what I do is I study the skill position prospects, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And I do it according to a process that I've developed with the help of, you know, my past experience as an operations manager, a quality assurance manager in an industry where I had to get certified for process improvement and performance evaluation. And I applied a lot of that to how I study rookie prospects. So everything's defined, everything's transparent. I, you know, as a guy who, you know, really didn't have a name in this industry 12 years ago or right. anything at all, I thought the best way to go about doing this was to show all my work.
If I can paraphrase correctly here, it's because when most people hear about scouting reports, it's a report. It's just words. But you actually have, you know, assigned values. Am I correct in saying that?
That's exactly right. Everything has an assigned value that's defined so that you can look at it. You get a glossary. You get checklists that show you what I'm grading on, why I'm grading on it. And then I take you through my process. So what happens is you get a 300-page draft guide based on about 160 prospects. And then for the craziness factor, which is just to show people, hey, look, this is how I do my work. If you really are that nuts about this stuff, I'll show you the other 700 to 800 pages worth of work that I did throughout the year for you to just examine if you want to. Most people don't look at that. That's just a way of saying, hey, dude, I work on this stuff all the time.
That was eye-opening to me when I got my first RSP a couple of years ago. I've been a subscriber for a while, but that, like you said, that the end of it, I'm like, good God, man, why would you need to put all this in? I mean, it's like all the plays he watched and the game. So you know Waldman does his work and studies it up. And I also like that you have, Matt, in there. It's not only just the reports on all the guys at the positions, but you kind of break down the categories from each position and rank the guys in there as well, like which guys are the best deep threats at wide receiver, which guys have the best short-range agility at running back and stuff like that. So it really helps you get a good sense of all of these prospects.
Absolutely, and that's part of taking you through the process because we all know, you know, especially in the fantasy community, linear rankings are what everyone likes because you want to have that straight, simple answer. But we know that it's not that way. You know, in the NFL, there are going to be certain teams, they pick a certain player, and if they fit him with the right offense, he's going to be great. But at the same time, you can take a player, and I think a perfect example of that is let's look at Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. Tom Brady may be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But if you put him in an offense and ask him to do what Russell Wilson does, he would fail.
Yeah, miserable.
He can't run. But Russell Wilson, you could put Russell Wilson in like five different offenses, and he would play well. He might not play as well as Brady in the same offense. That's debatable. But that's the point. And so being able to take people through all those different possibilities and put it in a way that's easy to digest helps them become better prepared for their fantasy draft.
All right, so Matt Waldman, MattWaldmanRSP.com. All right, so you are an absolute machine when it comes to these rookie, you know, scouting reports here. This is a draft that has reportedly one of the deepest running back drafts in recent memory. Of this very deep class, give me Matt Waldman's favorite running back in this class.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, it is a terrific class, and I would say, you know, in terms of a favorite, I'm not gonna give you my best, but I'll tell you who my favorite is.
And
one of my favorites is Jamal Williams out of BYU. I think he's a very interesting prospect because if you think about Ricky Waters back in the day, the way that he could catch the ball, how good of a blocker he wasn't unbelievably fast, but he was quick, shifty, understood, you know, really the concepts of a blocking scheme, and he could get you positive yards and stay on the field all three downs. I think Jamal Williams has that possibility as a player that within a few years we may see him in a lineup and be surprised about how good he is.
So I'm taking a look at some of your running backs earlier today, and I'm going to paraphrase you here and just say that you think Fournette is straight garbage.
You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first.
Oh, that's funny. No, I love Leonard.
Accurate?
But it's not accurate at all. But I will say this. If you talk to some LSU fans over the past few years when I've done my videos, they might think that was my take. Because I often said, look, he doesn't do some of the things that you would ask Adrian Peterson to do. He's not going to, you know, drop his hips, sit in that chair and make jump cuts like Jamal Charles, Peterson, and LeSean McCoy all day long. But if you ask him to work downhill behind a fullback or in a single back formation and let him hit that hole hard, he's going to give you what Steven Davis gave people in his prime, which is 1,400 to 1,700 yards for a few years. He had a season with 17 touchdowns. Leonard Fournette is capable of that. And what people forget about Steven Davis is that Steven Davis ran a 10-4 100 meters in high school. That's 0.4 seconds faster than what Fournette ran.
Wow.
And we're talking about how great Fournette was. Steven Davis was a pretty nice back in his day. We just don't remember that. I think that they're pretty comparable. And I did talk to a scout recently who I shared that with, who I've been friendly with for a while. And he said that was probably one of the better comps he's heard, you know, because he's heard things ranging from Jim Brown to, you know, garbage. So depending on who we talk to.
So again, but it goes back to your point of he's got to go to the right team. And I know that you mentioned the Colts. Obviously, the Cardinals is one, but he's not going to go there. It seems like he's got a limited number of places he can actually go to be successful.
Yeah, I think I think on the surface that is true. But I think that if a team picks him, you know, again, this is kind of the assumption of rational coaching. My buddy Sigmund Bloom would probably label that, which is that we assume that they're going to look at this and say, look, we know what Fournette can do in an I formation system, not running him from shotgun all the time, but letting him run downhill. And we're going to bend that. We're going to create a system that works well for that player if we're going to take him that high. That's the assumption. I'm hoping that will happen rather than a team trying to ramrod him into a shotgun formation. And then we look at Adrian Peterson at the end of his career and we're talking about, you know, Leonard Fournette at the beginning of his career in those terms. That would be sad. But I think teams like, you know, I mean, I certainly think that there are certain teams that can run downhill from the shotgun reasonably well. Carolina certainly could qualify. I would think they'd make some adjustments if they wanted to. And look, you know, the Raiders, I think, would be a good fit for him. I think that they could do some things with that offense and really, you know, make the most out of his game. Because one of the things that he does unbelievably well is shorten his stride in the way that wide receivers adjust their stride at full speed. When he does that and he gets a chance to get downhill, he can adjust just a little bit to eliminate angles from defenders. And then with the speed that he has at 240 pounds, I mean, this guy's like a runaway cement truck, you know, and when people try and reach for him, their arms look like, you know, guardrails in a toll booth. I mean, that's just what happens with this guy. He's a terrific back. He's just, he needs a specific fit.
You know, Matt, you have written a couple of pieces about Alvin Kamara, and I feel like you and I are sort of on the same page in that I haven't quite understood a lot of the hype around him, but maybe there's something I'm missing. I mean, what do you see potentially his ceiling as at the next level?
Yeah, it's a great subject because, you know, we've seen in the past, you know, I mean, we're all in this industry, we're all wrong about players, you know, a good bit, and I've certainly had guys I've missed on. You know, I missed on Dak Prescott horribly last year, but at the same time, I've been right about guys like Bishop Sankey and Niall Davis, guys that were given a lot of high grades, or Andre Williams, and these were guys that I just thought, I don't see it, and here's why I don't see it. And Kamara fits in that category to an extent, because when you watch his game, you see a guy that has good balance in terms of indirect contact, but one of the most important things about a player isn't how many tackles he breaks or plays that he bounces off or how quick he is. It's also important to note whether or not he makes good decisions. And a lot of young college players win on athletic ability by bouncing plays outside and showing how quick they are and getting to the edge. Well, in the NFL, there's 320-pound guys who are as quick as those running backs are. And they're guys who are much more aware of what they're supposed to be doing assignment-wise, and you can't just bounce things outside all the time. And he has that issue. On top of that issue, you also have a guy who's fumbled once every 41 touches during his career at Tennessee.
That's not good.
No, you know, that's, you know, this is like, you know, if the Jaguars, let's put it this way, if the Jaguars draft Alvin Kamara, either that will tell you that Tom Coughlin has no power whatsoever, or he's a sadistic man. There is no way that, you know, because he is, his ball security is that bad at this point. And it's a reserve caliber tier of ball security that is going to keep you on the bench until you prove you can hang on to it. So when you combine the fact that he's not mature yet at being able to play inside and keep the ball inside in situations where it's like, look, it's second and eight, get the 2 yards so it's third and six rather than try and bounce the play outside and make it third and 12. These are the types of mistakes that Lawrence Maroney made, C.J. Spiller made, even LeSean McCoy and Jamaal Charles made these mistakes early on in their careers, and they fixed it. But the first two I mentioned, Spiller and Maroney, there's a reason why we never really looked at him as long-term starting running backs in the NFL. And that's my concern with Kamara, is that he's just not mature enough yet. He might be, but right now he's a space player. If you put him in an offense like maybe the New Orleans Saints and let him catch swing passes and screen passes and do some things like draw plays where he can play a little bit more in space and he doesn't have to be as disciplined about being between the tackles, then you might have something immediately. But right now, I think he's a little more of a developmental guy who can give you some playing time. Now, not a top five running back if you're looking for a guy who is going to give you three down work.
Lawrence Maroney, what a callback. I cannot there's so many bad memories associated with Lawrence. I believed in Lawrence Maroney so bad.
Me too.
Oh my God. I loved Lawrence Maroney, but no, it didn't work out.
There's been a couple good callbacks in this conversation.
100%.
Ricky Burning Waters, Stephen Davis, Lawrence Maroney.
Oh man, I love
it. We're all big time NFL fans, you know. I mean, yeah. That's
what we got. You mentioned Jamaal Williams out of BYU. Give me another wide receiver or tight end, or heck, give me another running back that you seem to be much higher on than the rest of the draft community.
All right. Well, wide receiver-wise, I'm a Josh Reynolds fan. I know he dropped some passes, and he certainly has other wide receivers around him who have been pretty good over the years. And, you know, Christian Kirk is certainly a young guy that's going to be really good. But when I watch Josh Reynolds play, he reminds me of another player that I really liked out of the draft a number of years ago, which is Marvin Jones. He's a guy that makes excellent adjustments in terms of body control. Even though he has some focus drops, he's a guy that makes amazing adjustments to the football and can catch it well. He's also physical and attacks the ball out of his breaks. He can make the first man miss. And I think that he has the skills to become a sudden route runner. And I have him rated much higher than most people I know. He's going to be one of my top five wide receiver prospects in this draft.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny because I know that I know our own Lance Zierlein made the Marvin Jones comparison too. And I watched Josh Reynolds a little bit this morning. Now listening to you, it makes me want to go back and watch him again.
Oh, I definitely want to.
I want to go back and check him out a little deeper.
Wow, that's bold. I love it.
You hey. Had me at Marv Jones.
You called out. Absolutely. Hey, listen, pal. I'm all in. Can you talk to me about – okay, so you have your website, mattwaldmanrsp.com. And in there, you've got a lot of your YouTube links as well where you legitimately sit down and go through your process. You break down the film. It's an absolute must watch, and I remember coming across your work, you know, a couple of years ago and loving it. But I have a legit question for you. Why, where do you get the music, and why are you, I mean, it's like these soft slow jams. Like, what's going on? It is so bizarre to watch football tape breakdown with this, like, neo jazz type, you know, music going on in the background. Why the music, man?
Yeah, it's kind of a polarizing thing that I go back and forth. We're not. But see, I used to be a jazz musician or a wannabe a jazz musician. And I studied music for a while. So some of that stuff,
now
one
it
of it
makes
is a
sense.
Roommate of mine. One of it's a former roommate of mine who's a clinician who plays does a lot of cool work.
Unbelievable.
And some of it's just me just kind of doing, experimenting with some of the film stuff. So unfortunately,
funny.
You know, hey, look, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I do kind of my own stuff with this particular project. And, you know, sometimes you have some things that you try out and you experiment with, and people go, some people are like, I love it. And others are like, what's going on with like the adult music going on? I'm waiting for Bow Chicka Wow Wow. So I'm kind of at a crossroads with that, but I appreciate the feedback.
Oh man.
That's great.
It is so interesting. I highly recommend people to go find this stuff on YouTube, but Matt, hey, let's talk about the RSP. Again, you heard about what it is. Why should people get it?
Well, you know, you're really getting the most comprehensive look at prospects, and it's based on talent, not draft position. I don't try and guess where these guys are going to be drafted. I'm not trying to rank them based on where I think they're going to go in a round. I was the type of guy who, you know, had high rankings for Russell Wilson before he, you know, went to Seattle, or Spencer Ware. And, you know, so I look at guys based solely on how they perform on the field, with a little bit of a look at the combine and trying to piece all of that together to match with the film. So you're going to get a 2 to 3 year look at a guy long term. Plus, when you get the RSP, you also get the RSP post-draft that comes with that. And I write that a week after the NFL draft so that you get to see kind of a short-term, here's how they fit with these teams, here's a depth chart breakdown, here are some rankings based on, you know, where I think, where they've gone, and also you're going to get nowadays a three-year look at players based on how I saw them in the past and then updated as well. So you get a ton of information that you can use for multiple years for your fantasy league. So when people are like, I have no idea where that guy came from, you can go look at your 2016, you know, 2017
You can be the smartest
RSP,
guy in the room.
RSP.
Yeah,
exactly.
No doubt.
And you can see where the strengths are. It's great for trades. It's great for waiver wire pickups for dynasty leagues. So it's an absolute fantastic resource in that regard.
All right, $21.99 is the price. Am I right in saying that?
$21.95.
$21.95.
Oh, 4 cents.
Even cheaper.
See, there you go. That's right.
Now, 10% still goes to charity. Yes.
That's right. It goes to an organization called Darkness to Light, which they educate people to help them protect children from sexual abuse.
Okay.
So you understand the dynamics of that, and it teaches people the dynamics of that and how to prevent it, as well as how to address it when it happens so it doesn't create more damage. And it was something that was inspired me to do based on what happened with the events of Penn State. We're all football fans. We all want to see people, you know, be able to address these situations better moving forward. And this was the offshoot of that.
All right, the great Matt Waldman. Find his work, mattwaldmanrsp.com. It's very popular among the Matts. Matt Miller from ESPN loves it. Matt Harmon from right here in the NFL Fantasy Podcast loves his work as well.
We all do, too.
I would implore anybody to go out and get this, because one of the things that he's touching on is the way you watch the draft is that you should – because we all have a favorite team. You're like, I hope the Bears draft this guy, this guy, this guy. But you also go through and you see – for instance, like Leonard Fournette, like I hope that he goes to this team, because if he ends up here, it's probably not going to work out. So it'll help the way you watch the draft in the next couple of weeks.
And it's going to help you in fantasy.
That's the big thing.
Of course.
And that's the only thing that matters, baby. I love it. Matt Waldman, mattwaldmanrsp.com. Thanks for your time, man.
Hey, thank you. My pleasure.
All right, gentlemen, so that was Matt Waldman. Alex Gilhar, I'd love to kind of get your thoughts on his breakdown of different players. You know, maybe we start with Jamal Williams. That's the first guy that he had mentioned. But, man, I'll tell you what, I've seen enough, you know, Jamal Williams game tape to not come away very impressed, and yet Matt Waldman seemed to really like him. What were your thoughts there?
Well, I watched Williams, too, and I feel like I'm a not – there are a couple people, Waldman included, that are big fans of Williams and see him as one of those steel guys of the draft. I have a couple other backs I like in that later tier that I'm going to be keeping an eye on in rounds, you know, like 4 to 6 for
sure.
Teams to take, kind of in that Jordan Howard range. Williams certainly is – he does a lot of the things right, like I think Matt was saying, where he's got some of the short-range quickness and burst to get away from people. He doesn't have tremendous long speed or anything, but – I mean, man, in the right fit, he could be worth watching. And if Waldman's behind a guy, it usually helps bump him up a little bit
for
in
sure.
My rankings at the very least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's done the work anyways.
Similarly,
yes, please.
Like I said a couple of weeks ago, Fournette,
not feeling
garbage.
Garbage.
Wow, that's what Matt said. So I'm gonna
have to say. Definitely heard it here.
Listen, that's what I'm just quoting. I'm just quoting the guru.
You're not making it up.
I'm just reporting the facts.
Those are his words.
His exact words.
Oh, man.
That you then said. He said them first, right?
I think that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it goes. Listen, stop shaking your head over there.
Yeah.
What?
Stop. You're lucky. But it just goes to show.
Yes.
That it a lot of it depends on where these running backs go, and I know that everybody wants to make the Ezekiel.
First of all, that's every player, right? I mean,
That's every player, but even more so at the running back position, because everybody's like, "Oh, Ezekiel Elliott, look what he did! Running back revolution. It's back on." You're like, "If he didn't go to the Cowboys, he would not have been Rookie of the Year, 100%."
I mean, come on, it's impossible to not have liked Zeke Elliott coming out of college.
Well, no, I mean, he's a great running back, 100%, but he's not going to have the kind of success he would have had with a different team last year.
I see what you're saying.
I think if that roadmap of words that just came out of my mouth. But what I'm trying to say is a lot of – he's a great running back, but a lot of his ultimate success came from playing with a great team. And listen, if Fournette falls to the Raiders, then I will completely do a 180.
Yep.
I will draft him in the first round.
You're all in.
I know, but 100%. And you know what? It's interesting because something like that could happen. Because you look at some of these teams, and if you're going to look at fit – and let's say that the Patriots do something crazy, end up getting a top 15 pick, and they're like, we're going to go McCaffrey, and somebody else likes Dalvin Cook. And then Fournette starts sliding down, and other teams are looking. Because you know there's a team out there right now who's looking at the draft and being like, you know what, we can't draft Mixon
right
on Friday night in prime time, but we're going to grab him
later
in the second round.
Which is silly, by the way, but that's a different conversation.
No, I mean, but you have to have – it's just one of those things like – you have to take that into account. And who's going to be able to win the PR battle? Like, to me, there's just a handful of teams that are going to be able to get away with taking them.
The Patriots would be one.
The Patriots, perhaps. No. I was thinking
about they've already said that they're not.
They would 100% be one of those teams because I think...
Oh, yeah, they would actually insulate them.
Well, not only insulate them, but they're also... People wouldn't be up in arms.
Yeah.
Because they'd say, well, look at Bill Belichick. What a genius.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh
would be another one. But, you know, I'll say the thing about Leonard Fournette, though, you're right. He needs to go to the right fit. But I think his talent is such that I think the fit is bigger than most people are giving him credit for. It's like you said, Ezekiel Elliott, look, there's just no way you can get around the fact that coming out of college, he was an absolute beast. He's an absolute beast. And his margin for error is so much greater than somebody – you know, to somebody like Derrick Henry, who I like Derrick Henry, I like him a lot, but his, you know, going back to what you're saying, the fit, the player and the team fit, I think that that margin of error is very slim for somebody like Derrick Henry, whereas it's actually pretty wide for somebody like, you know, Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey as well. No?
You're giving me a blank stare.
That was quite the stare.
I was like,
I forgot. Not on TV. I can just deadpan you. And turn to the camera and just shake my head no.
Okay.
No, because I honestly believe that McCaffrey fits on more teams than Fournette would.
Agreed.
Because McCaffrey can do so many different things.
Agreed. 100% agree. I mean, look, yep. I like Dalvin Cook over Leonard Fournette.
What?
I mean, I've been saying it for a while. I know he didn't have a great combine. I know that. But I because I think his skill set lends himself to doing more things. And maybe his pass protection skills will keep him from immediately being a three down back, but I still think he's a guy that you will have more faith having on the field in a passing situation than you would with Fournette right now.
I love Christian McCaffrey, but to say that he has more I disagree wholeheartedly with that, only because he is a guy that once you get to goal-to-goal situations, I don't think you can really trust him back there. Unless you're saying, look, 100% for sure we're going to pass right now. But he's not that deceptive because, yeah, he can run between the tackles. And I've caped up for him too, saying, yeah, he can run between the tackles. But in goal-to-goal situations where people are crowding that line, it's going to be awfully
hard.
You're
talking like from the 1 yard line, or
I'm saying anywhere between first and goal to go. So up to the 9.
But I think
the 10.
I think it works in his favor that he's so versatile. He could run the ball. He could catch the ball. Like he could do. There's a lot of different ways that you could use him. But for Fournette, he's got to be running downhill. And if it's one of those situations, the defense is actually going to be to load up against him.
First and goal at the 5. You give Fournette that ball 3 times, it's going in. Period. You know what I mean? Like, it takes all the guesswork out of it.
Unless you're Pete Carroll and you decide to throw it.
Oh. All right, fair enough. All right, listen, that's enough of that. I think that's you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's pick up that conversation next week.
Let's do it.
McCaffrey
I'm on
or Fournette.
Next week.
Well,
actually, you're out next week. I'm out next week.
I was supposed to be out. Well, I was supposed to be out, but I'm going to be on Mock Draft Live on Tuesday. It's one of those things. Anytime I'm like, I'll just take this week off because you got to go out and blow out some vacation days. They're like, oh, can you come in on Tuesday? And then there's going to be a conference call on Monday. And if I'm like, so I should just never put down for any vacation.
Right. That's right.
Never.
That's exactly
that's what I'm supposed to. Which is fine. Like, listen, it's not work.
Look, I know it must be really difficult being a TV superstar yourself.
It's actually very easy.
It sounds so, I mean, I feel for you, brother.
The only thing where you got to tell it like, well, right. No, because you got to tell your wife who you were going to, oh, we'll go to Disneyland.
The struggle is real. I can't take vacation because I'm a huge television star.
Huge.
The struggle is real for Adam.
It is. Thank you. Jeez. Thank you for some. You know what? So often, people don't
appreciate
that. Let's
close out the show with a round of Daily Daps.
Why are you?
Extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Daps and hugs. Give me daps because I be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up daps about daps.
Daps.
All right, Daily Dap time. We'll start with MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What you got?
Well, we are nearing the end of our podcast for this week.
Yes.
So as soon as this is done, go and download the S-Town podcast. It is going to be your new binge listen podcast.
What's the S-Town?
It is from the producers of This American Life and Serial.
Hello.
And if you loved Serial, you will love S-Town. They actually did it sort of differently in that it's 7 episodes, which they released all at the same time.
Mm.
So you don't need to wait week by week to do it. An incredible. I'm on halfway through episode. I started last night as I was walking home from work, and I am now on episode 6, and I will be done with it before the end of the day.
Jeebus.
The basic premise is a reporter from New York travels down to a small rural town in Alabama to investigate an alleged murder, and ends up getting himself tied up in something that seems far more sinister and nefarious.
Okay.
So we'll leave it at that.
All right.
But go get it. Go download the whole thing. Binge listen. We can't say binge watch, right? It's binge listen.
Binge listen
to the whole thing.
I mean, you can watch your phone screen.
I mean, you can stare at it. Like, that seems sort of silly, but
can't
yeah, if you want
very
to.
Exciting.
So there you go.
WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhar, what's up?
Well, I was going to dap a podcast too, but it's not going to be nearly as exciting in Marcus's. But I found Washington Post last year did a podcast called Presidential that every episode looks at the life and character and in a nice little in-depth profile of every former American president.
Okay.
So if you're nerdy and into history and stuff like that, like I am, it's a great listen. Like most of them are 30 minutes to 50 minutes. And it's just good. They get the biographers, other reporters, people from the Library of Congress providing all these interesting details and stuff to help paint these profiles of the past presidents. So definitely daily daps to that. Daily daps to the Claibons also, who had their
Patrick
child.
Yeah, Patrick
Claibon. We're very excited for them. I had to help walk their dog when Lauren was going into labor because we got a text from Claibon that morning and he said we planned literally everything except who was going to take care of the pets. So
that's terrific.
I had to go over there and kind of break into their apartment and walk the dog and feed the cats. But
that is awesome.
Happy for them. And then one more quick daily dap to the little girl who thought the broken down water heater was a real robot in a cul-de-sac with her dad and her, I think her dad or whoever it was videotaped
it. That's really good.
It's such a cute video.
Yeah.
Just like, it just melted my heart when she gives the water heater a hug because she thinks it's a robot. So if you haven't seen that video yet, I tweeted it or retweeted it yesterday. You can find it there.
All right, great. I will daily dap a Twitter account called @studentathletes. Athletes is misspelled, but it's a student.
Intentionally, I'm sure.
I guess it might be. But they have some funny-ass tweets, man. Anyways, @studentathletes, @athletes. So student athletes, I apologize. I know it's spelled wrong, but probably intentionally. But, man, it is... It's funny. It's funny. It's a caricature of a lot of student athlete tweets, and they're funny. Anyways, I will also give a daily dap out to the League of Leagues. I thought I was going to be out, but then, like, you know, Godfather 3, they pulled me back in. Mostly because I get to team with this man to my left here, Adam Rank.
Yeah, buddy.
So daily daps to Adam Rank, who actually did the draft. I was furiously texting him back and forth while I had to work, but texting him, I think I texted him about 100 different times. Hey, maybe we should go look at this guy. Hey, what do you think about this guy? So daily daps to him for putting up with my BS. But it was a lot of fun. And Adam, I'll let you kind of fill in on that. But for those of you who don't know, League of Leagues is a three-sport.
The nerdiest thing ever.
It's the three-sport
I say that
draft.
As somebody who was in it the last
That's
time.
That's right. That is exactly right. It's a three-sport draft, so you can draft in one draft. You're drafting baseball, basketball, and football guys in any order you want. And also you can trade. You could trade Ezekiel Elliott for Mike Trout, which would be a terrible trade, but whatever. You could trade you could trade football for basketball, basketball for baseball, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's an interesting concept and certainly one that has expanded, you know, at least my view of like how fantasy works and all of those things. But it's a very cool concept. It started by our buddy Jonah Carey, who started the league, and Dave Damashek as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of their brainchild, and I don't know. It's a lot of fun, and kind of going through that whole draft process, I thought it was a lot of fun. So even though I wasn't the one making all the picks, I'll see the.
You were there? Animal. No, because you were. No, we were able to work it out. I thought it worked well. Real well. I got up at 4:30 in the morning. No, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
This was a live draft in Vegas.
Drove out to Las Vegas for the 10 a.m. draft, and everybody's like, "Well, why didn't you go out the night before?" It's like, because I know me. Because I know if I'm in Las Vegas, I'm going to be out till 4 in the morning, and then I'm not going. Last place I'm going to want to be hanging out for a 10-hour draft. Is the Vidara with a bunch of other dudes.
Right.
But I thought it worked out pretty well. And I will give a dap to Jonah Carey because he's really a nice guy, a sweet and gentle man.
Yes.
And the funniest thing is obviously you mentioned Dave Damashek is in this league. Cousin Sal, that people might know from the Jimmy Kimmel Show, is also in this league. And they both of them have ties to Bill Simmons.
I see.
Bill Simmons went after Jonah Carey
on
Twitter last
week.
Did. So, and it took a while for everybody to start getting into those jokes, but it was hilarious. So I do want to stand up for. And Jonah is he's so unassuming and such a nice guy that it was like it was so out of left field. So
The fact that Jonah in his article that Bill Simmons like attacked him for like immediately at the top thanks to Bill Simmons for this idea.
Giving me this idea, yes.
That was the conjecture is that Simmons didn't read the article.
Oh, there's no way.
And then tweeted that. And then eventually somebody probably pointed out like, hey, he gave you credit and it was too late. He was pot committed. So that was cool. Got to watch, you know, Well, and we had the 14th pick, so we were on the wheel.
Oh, my God.
So, and we knew our strategy, too, of like going with – we went NBA with the first four picks. Then we went basketball. Cynthia Freeland on the Dave Damashek football program this week said that we're studs. We actually did the right thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
She really loved how we approached the draft.
Nice.
She made fun of Dave. Dave's all over the place.
Dave's all over the place.
Oh,
That's typical Sheck.
Like, even sitting there, and I was able to watch the Justice League trailer because it came out that day.
Yeah.
So I was able to watch it at great length and then go do our picks. And by the way, I like that Justice League trailer.
It's a great-looking trailer.
I love Ezra Miller's version of The Flash because I've kind of gotten sick of Grant Gustin and the CW Flash. So I'm ready for one of the other 52 Flashes that there are. So that's going to be pretty good. And I'd also like to dap the city of Las Vegas because now usually I would have to feel like, should I mention that I was in Vegas for the strip? Like, hey, we got a team there now.
Yeah.
Buddy.
It's all
like
good.
It's wide open. I was on Fremont Street posting pictures on Instagram. I'm in Vegas, boys. I can do whatever I want.
Let's get back to one thing, though.
Yeah.
Can you confirm that you drafted Martavis Bryant, and that is why you guys stood up and high-fived earlier in this podcast?
So we go all basketball, and then we go some baseball. Like, how long did we wait? 20 rounds or something?
Yeah, we drafted Dante Moncrief in the 15th round.
In the 15th round, our first player was Dante Moncrief. Our second player was Martavis Bryant.
That was our dude.
A 14 team, three wide receiver league.
There you go, listeners.
And you know, and if I can say one other thing about that.
Oh my God! First of all,
our RB one is Rex Burkhead.
I love it.
The goat.
Right.
Yeah. Rex, go ahead.
You guys have won.
Okay, let me say. I know the other podcast is coming in around the league. Make sure you download I know more people listen to that podcast.
Like 50 million.
But let me say something about Las Vegas. I am getting sick and tired of people being like, "Oh, the NFL's chasing the money. The league's done." Okay, you know what? In 1995, they moved a franchise from Los Angeles to St. Louis. Okay, if that wasn't a money grab, I don't know what is. And you know what? Oakland to Vegas is an upgrade.
Oh,
and you know what? As a Southern California.
Okay, see now, see.
Play the music.
As a Southern California, we gotta go.
You want? You know what? I'd rather spend the 3 hours driving to Vegas, having a good time.
What a bomb drop by Adam Rank.
This is gonna work out. Famous.
Mark my words. Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. I'm James Coe.
It's like Gordy Schiavone. We're out of time.